B-Pod Studios.
Hour, Mike Mussinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, where famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays every bit is good. All right, so the controversial story that we've been talking about over the last couple of days was a story by a writer named Joe Santoclito, a local writer who wrote a story that described Carson Wentz as being not the, you know, the pristine Richie Cunningham type of guy that we all have known or think we knew. And that there are some people in the locker room that don't appreciate what was called selfishness. And the man who is the sports editor of the Philly Voice, who obviously green flagged this story, is a guy named Evan Macy. He joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. Evan, how are you making out today?
I'm doing good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And now, I want to make clear that I'm not having you on here to chastise anything you did. I'm only trying to get an explanation. And so I asked a series of questions that will lead to where I'm going with this. How long have you been a print editor in this business?
I worked as a sports writer since 2011. Mm-hmm. And I got my first job as a sports editor at Metro Philly in 2013.
Okay, so you've been a print editor for about 5 years. Okay. I guess it's a decent resume. So this story comes to you, and I'm curious to know what your first reaction is. Now, keep in mind that I had a lot of experience in journalism, and I know that editors are really difficult people to get stories through. And at the Inquirer in the old days, they vetted stories until you were, you know, sick almost. So what was your first approach to editing a story like this and then ultimately greenlighting it?
So I'll walk you through, and I'll try not to be too long-winded. Around the time of the Cowboys' loss, which was, I believe, week 13 or week 14, Joe Santoliquido, who covers the Eagles for us, he's in the locker room a few times a week, he wanted to write a story about Mike Groh. He wanted to write a story that looked into why the offense looked worse since Mike Groh was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, go ahead. So he was talking to players in the Eagles' locker room, and he came back to me, and he said that some of the players he talked to said Groh isn't the problem. Number 11 is the problem. Carson Wentz. And I said, that's really interesting. What do you have on it? And he showed me and he played it to me. And I said, you know, that's great. Will anybody go on the record? And obviously nobody wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let's put it in the back pocket. Keep talking. Let me know what you hear. So as the season went along, he kept looking into it and he added to our list of sources. And eventually he created a body of work towards the end of the season that was very, very interesting. And it was something that I thought made a really good story, but we didn't have anybody on the record, and it was tough to get anybody on the record. And then the Eagles had their locker room cleanup day, which would have been a week ago on Monday. And later that night, he came to me with another source. It was our eighth source, and it was such a home run. It was a source that corroborated every single thing that we had heard independently, and it sounded like something that was just like too undeniably interesting. It was confirmed several times. All the sources independently echoed all the things we were hearing. And we thought that it painted a portrait not of Carson Wentz being a horrible person, not of a divided locker room, but of a quarterback who had watched his backup and one of his close friends become one of the most, you know, famous, important people in the history of Philadelphia, Nick Foles. He rehabbed from his injury. He only got partial time in training camp. He missed the first two games of the season. And then he takes over the offense that ran the Philly special. Now, can you imagine what Carson Wentz's reaction would be in a huddle where that play is called? I can't see him wanting to run it. I understand him not wanting to run that play and other Nick Foles type plays. We thought it was interesting that this offense was not doing well and that Carson Wentz was pressing and that his teammates were frustrated by it. And that was what the story was, and that's what we tried to get across.
All right. The conclusion, though, of this story, and I think you would agree, is, and I'll simplify it, conclusion, colon, Wentz bad. Would you agree with that, that's the point this story is making?
I don't think it's
going into, like, Wentz is this, but he's also this. It's a conclusion. The story is written to discredit Carson Wentz as the quarterback of the Eagles. You would not agree with that?
I think, first of all, at least two or three times, we definitely mentioned that all the sources told us They want Wentz to succeed. They support Wentz. They know he's talented, and they know he's capable of better. And that was really what I was getting out of it. And I don't think anybody we talked to or anybody on the Eagles roster has a problem with Carson Wentz as a person or says there's anything wrong with him as a person. He's a young man. He's got an ego like any quarterback would. And he was in a situation that I don't know if any NFL player has ever been in history. And it was very interesting to hear the perspective of these players. It's a two-sided story in that there are possibly, you know, what Joe would suggest is a Wentz camp and a Foles camp. But at the same time, it's not like nobody knows about the Wentz camp. I mean, Zach Ertz and Lane Johnson and Fletcher Cox and all the guys who spoke out in support of Carson Wentz. It didn't surprise me.
But those guys were not included in the story, which gives that story balance. Did you have a problem with that? Like, why did it have to come out? Why did it have to tweet afterwards when he could have very easily gone, hey, so-and-so is saying this about Carson Wentz. What's your comment on this?
Well, I have a couple takes on that. The first is that if we had asked that at the assembled media, it definitely would have ruined the exclusive. That's something that you have to consider. And also, it's not like people don't know where the majority of the locker room stands. It's not like the other side has no voice. It's not like the people who are in Wentz's camp are a surprise. The majority of the people who would go on the record. And you know, you have to think about it as this is a group of 53-plus guys. It's like a high school. I mean, for anybody who's been on a high school football team, even at that level, you have cliques, you have groups, you have people who hang around.
But Evan, a good reporter can get to somebody if the subject is important enough. In other words, you don't have to ask at a media gathering where everybody's there. You can let the Eagles know, hey, I have this story that says this. I think it would behoove the general manager or the coach to speak on this, or we're going to run it. And I guarantee you get people to talk to you. You can get Fletcher Cox walking somewhere and say, Fletcher, I had to talk to you about something. You don't have to do it in the assembly. What I'm saying is you need to provide balance. Now, I don't have any skin in this game between Wentz or Foles. So I'm coming from this completely objective on what your thing is. This story paints Carson Wentz out to be kind of a cur. And there's no balance to it. Now, you spoke, the story says you spoke with more than a half a dozen players, plus other sources close to the team. Did you think that was enough to come to a conclusion on Carson Wentz?
I'm not sure that the conclusion is what we were trying to present. I'm not, this article is not the be-all, end-all. This is the Eagles locker room and then people hate Carson Wentz. It's interesting that there was a faction of Eagles who found it important enough to talk to us and to say these things. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it was a worthwhile story to pursue, that there was a reason why these players were saying these same things to Joe. And in my opinion, that is the story. The story is not there are differences of opinion about Carson Wentz. I think everybody can assume that that's the case in any locker room about any player. But this story in my mind was about, you know, this is really interesting that these players wanted to talk about us. And these players said, yes, you can quote me on that. Just don't use my name. Because of what they said was a fear of Carson Wentz's power in the organization. I was really, really struck by.
And I get it. I get it why they wouldn't want to identify themselves. Let me ask you, these are all on tape. You heard them. You know exactly who said what.
Correct.
You're telling me correct. Everything he had was on tape. These weren't through notes. These weren't through unidentified. He identified every one of these sources to you as the editor.
I know by name all the people who are our sources. I've seen text messages confirming things. I've heard recordings. And I've also just heard verbally him talking to me what he heard, a combination of all of those things. But it's not like it was just completely hearsay. I would not have okayed it if I didn't have evidence in front of me that I sat and thought about for a long
time. Okay, here's the question I had there, because this is what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. If you've got a majority of the people in that locker room feeling that way, then you've got a story. If you've got a few people who may have an axe to grind for whatever reason it is, and I'm sure you ferreted that out, whether they had an axe to grind, do you really have a story?
The I mean, clearly there is a story.
The story is suggesting there are problems in the Eagles locker room because the quarterback is selfish and egotistical. That's what the story is suggesting.
The story in my mind is suggesting that the reason why the Eagles were 9-7 this year, and the reason why Carson Wentz didn't look like himself in the middle of the season, the reason why he was pressing, the reason why in post-game press conferences, Doug Peterson was being asked about Carson Wentz's health, mm-hmm. and his ability and the play calling. It had to do with the things that our sources told us, which is that he played favorites, which is that he would change runs into passes at the line of scrimmage. All of the things that we talk about in the article that Carson Wentz reportedly mm-hmm. did by our sources, that is the story in my mind. Mm-hmm. It was a possible explanation for what we saw out there. And well, that is how I took it and what I found interesting.
Okay, I guess we have a different opinion on what is actually a story of this kind of magnitude and what constitutes a story of this kind of magnitude. To me...
Of course, Mike. And you know I'm not going to just roll over and say it's a crappy piece and I don't support my writer. Of course I do.
No,
of course I'm going to...
Right, exactly, and I'm okay with that. Now, we're talking with Evan Macy, the managing sports editor at Philly Voice. Let me go into this direction here. I know Joe Santoliquido. Is he a staff writer for you, or is he a freelancer?
He's a contributing writer. He has a bunch of regular features that he writes for us. He probably writes between 4 and 5 stories a month for us.
Okay, do you trust him?
Pay him as a freelancer.
Do you trust him enough as a freelancer to think that he would have good enough sources to say that to him?
Since he doesn't
cover the beat on an everyday basis.
Joe is just one of those guys who just kind of knows everybody. I mean, just it surprises me. There was an article he wrote where when Carter Hart made his debut as a goalie, he said, I'm gonna try to watch the game with Carter Hart's parents. And I rolled my eyes and said, okay, Joe. And he literally watched Carter Hart's debut with Carter Hart's parents. He wrote an article about it. He got quotes from their parents. It was fantastic. I have no idea how he got so close with Carter Hart's family. He's just one of those people who keeps surprising me that he knows people and he has these connections. He's shown to me that he's reliable in that whenever he says that he's going to do something that involves something like that, like I just mentioned with Carter Hart, uh-huh. like this article we ran, he came through with it. It was refutable and it was interesting. So I had trusted him, you know, and I do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you vet the fact that he has in the past gone on record as not a supporter of Carson Wentz?
I'll tell you that took me by surprise in that whenever something like this breaks, people are going to look at every tweet you've ever made in the mm-hmm. history of your career.
Yeah.
And obviously they did that with Joe. The article that I saw that people were complaining about was not written for us, and I wasn't aware of it. Something criticizing Carson Wentz. I think he said something like, you know, in 2016, the Eagles are going to be the Bears.
Cleveland Browns.
With Brown.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
I honestly, you know, I didn't look back at stories he wrote 3 years ago for other publications. Maybe I should have. If that's something that I screwed up at, I'll own up to it. But no, I didn't know.
All right, but here's a tweet that I have right in front of me, October 26th, by him. It amazes me the blind loyalty in caps Wentz engenders from what I thought I would never say, the Eagles Stepford fans. But he is, in bold, Captain Carson. He walks on water to the millions in Eagle Land. He's just never, in caps, won an NFL playoff game. He's still not Brady, Montana, or Elway, not yet. Now, that doesn't seem like to be a guy who's that much of a fan of Carson Wentz. And that alone would, as an editor, take me aback and say, listen, man, I don't know.
I think that, you know, regardless of what... there's so much of a history now, the way that social media works, that it's hard. It's easy to find things like this for any topic. But what I will say about Joe is that I know for a fact that this story didn't start out or didn't get presented to me as being, I want to take down Wentz. How can I do it? It started out as him finding all of these facts that we were very, very fascinated with, these sources, these quotes, these little scenarios that he heard about in the Eagles locker room.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't it speak to his credibility, Evan? Doesn't a tweet like that speak to his credibility to write this kind of a story? I mean, that's a fair question. I mean, you could disagree or agree.
I mean,
October 26th, the tweet. This is like a month ago.
Right. I don't actually remember what happened that weekend. I don't know what game was following. I don't know the context of it. I'm not trying to dodge the question, but in all honesty, you know, we react to things as in a fan-like way. Anybody who's covering this beat, mm-hmm. Skip Bayless is in love with the Cowboys. You got a lot of Eagles writers in here who love the Eagles and worship the Eagles. Anybody on any beat is going to have an emotional attachment to what they cover, and they're going to speak out about what they think. And I think it would be impossible to do this job if you were held accountable when you're writing to your opinion. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of writers who can separate their opinions from what they write on the page, and it doesn't make them any less talented or reliable.
Okay. All right. Listen, you're right. This is a different era. And the Philly Voice is in a position where you're trying to gather as many readers as you can, and you're trying to make a big splash as you can. Do you believe that influenced you in any way to run a story that may not have been mature enough to run?
So here's something that I've been thinking about a lot when it comes to the story, and it's the headline where we put in some of the quotes that we thought jumped out at us, the selfish, the uncompromising. That's my decision. That was my decision. I wanted it to pop. I wanted to get the best highlights from the story. I wanted to get the most eyeballs. And I think that's what any editor would do. So in my opinion, I think that a lot of the all the people who are freaking out, all the people who are speaking out, I would wager that a very large portion of them, larger than I would like to acknowledge, read our headline, saw that Carson Wentz and Selfish were in the same line and had an emotional reaction because this is the quarterback that they support. And I wonder, looking back, had I had a more benign headline, you know, sources inside the Eagles criticize Carson Wentz, say, if there would have been a different kind of backlash. Because I really, you know, even seeing what Lane Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins said today on the record, they talked to John Clark at the Pro Bowl, both of them said they hadn't read the piece. And yet they're reacting, they're going on the record, they're giving their thoughts. And that's fine, and I support that they're able to give their thoughts, and they're supporting their quarterback, as they should. But the fact that people who are on the team who are asked about this don't know what's in the story, that makes me think that a lot of the people reacting and a lot of this reaction, people don't know what they're talking about. We got a lot of reaction where people were actually breaking down what we said, and I appreciate that, and that's legitimate, and I will engage in conversation about that. But I really think that the headline that we put out there made people freak out a lot.
Okay. And it may have made people freak out. The body of the story is what I'm really concentrating on. So I'll leave you with this, and I really appreciate you coming on. When a story is written to a definite conclusion, which I believe this story was. The story was written to this conclusion. Wentz is kind of a cur. When you write a conclusion story like that, it's got to be better reported than just a half a dozen players plus other sources close to the team. That's just my opinion on it. You're the editor. You ran it, and you have your reasons for running it, but that was just my conclusion of it. So whatever that's worth to you, we'll go from there.
No problem. I appreciate that. There's all different responses, different reactions. I understand where that's coming from. And, you know, I made the decision and, you know, I stand by the work. And I think that regardless if there are faults or not, I think that there are some legitimate things in there that people are realizing. And I think that, you know, framing the conversation about the Eagles in a constructive way, like I think we're doing, is something, you know, that is actually some kind of contribution. That's okay. How I feel about it.
All right. Listen, thanks for coming on, Evan. We appreciate it.
No problem, man. You're tough. Tough interview. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. There you go. Evan Macy, managing editor at Philly Voice. Listen, I've talked about this for a couple of days. I come from a different journalistic viewpoint. I think he was trying to say that there wasn't a defined conclusion to this story. There definitely is a defined conclusion. The conclusion is Wentz isn't all he's cranked up to be. And when you write that kind of a conclusionary story, you gotta have more teeth. That's all I'm saying. And it's probably gotta be a little more balanced by comments from the front office, the coaching staff, other players who may be in his camp to really provide an objective piece. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is still General Knowledge Wednesday, so we are giving away a pair of tickets to the auto show. And prego! There it is. Tradicional. Signed by Jason Mertidis. We'll ship it to you in bubble wrap. It's time to get an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Natalie.
After his Hall of Fame induction, is Roy Halladay the best Phillies pitcher that you've personally seen? Over 2,700 votes on this so far. 77% say yes and 23% say no.
A lot of people didn't see lefty in this town.
Couple people in the comments did.
Yeah?
Some people were angry. Like,
yeah.
We're asking a question. They're like, why was it called? And I was like, believe it or not, a lot of Phillies fans were too young to have seen.
A lot of people are too young out there. I get that. So the people who were too young, obviously Halladay was the best they've seen.
If you were 18 for the 08 team, mm-hmm. you were born in 1990.
Yes.
So there's no way you saw him.
Yes. All right, let's go to Fred in Westmont. Fred, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone there.
What's up, Fred?
Hey, Mike. Listen, I had a comment about Nick Foles, but after listening to the interview with the Philly Insider,
mm-hmm.
so you kind of mentioned there was the conclusion that he wanted to get to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you really take a look at it, you know, journalism's dead, and you're from the old school, Mike, and you know you see everyone looking for clicks and this, that, and the other. You know, they won, right? They won. They're all over town. They're on every news channel. They've been interviewing here and there.
Sure, but in the short run, they won. In the short run, they won because they got clicks. Now, what kind of credibility do they have from this point on? That's what they have to figure out.
Mike, how disappointed are you with journalism? You know, and I'm not saying this story in general, but it's certainly a great example. You know, because you do come from that, you covered high school, this, that, and the other. You covered girls' basketball, whatever the case may be. But how disappointed are you in just these type of stories in general?
I don't really think it's brain surgery. I understand the clickbait world. I get that. But this story, if really vetted, you can click the hell out of it. I'm just saying, it's like taking the poppin' fresh out of the oven too soon. You know? It's gummy. You got to cook it to the full duration. That's all I'm saying. And that works today, whether it's clickbait journalism, social media, whatever. Let's just do it the right way. That's all I'm saying.
No, I get it, but Mike, I mean, here's the thing, right? And Natalie could probably, and Tyrone could probably agree, right? They're going to see the story on Facebook. They're going to like it. They're going to see it on Instagram and whatever the case may be, and they're going to like it.
There's a lot of people that don't like it, though. So a lot of people, they aren't going to like it because it's not vetted out to the point where you can read it and go, okay, well, that's full. That covered everything. Now I got it. You know, but it almost seems like the question I asked him about his agenda in writing the story, the writer, that's very important. If I'm an editor and he has tweeted out in October some stuff that shows he doesn't like Carson Wentz, I don't know if I can allow him to do this story. You know what I'm saying?
Mike, I agree. I'm only 37, but I've been listening to you for a long time and a big fan and followed you many ways, and right, and so you take a look at back in the day was the Daily News, the Inquirer, a couple other media sources. Yeah, you got 50 of them.
Yeah, I get the competition. Believe me, I don't take that lightly. I know there's competition. You're trying to get stuff out before everybody else. I understand that, and so it puts me in a tough spot to say, well, you don't have time to do it the right way. I know that a lot of people think that way. You don't have the time to really vet it. But this story could have been they really simply vetted a little more. General knowledge question for you, bro?
Absolutely.
All right, here it is. NFL 200 yards rushing. All right, this person did it most recently. Three times 200 yards in a game for the Miami Dolphins.
Lamar Miller.
Incorrect. How quick we forget that it was Jay Ajayi.
Wow. Yeah, that
Jay Ajayi in 2016 had a 204-yard game, a 206-yard game, and a 214-yard game.
Wow.
How about that?
Now, real fast, Mike, mm-hmm. to what that caller just said,
yeah.
I will admit, it did get a bunch of clicks, but I have to say, mm-hmm. I can only speak for myself. I'm not speaking for the city. If they were to break another story, I'm now less likely
well,
to read it.
That's the
personally.
See, that's,
I'm less
that's
likely
the
to read
peril
it.
Of doing a story before it's time. That's the peril of opening a bottle of wine before it's aged. You're not going to get the full effect. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and the one thing I still can't wrap my mind around is he spoke to a bunch of people, and yet not one single player that he spoke to liked Carson. I just don't think that's possible.
Well, see, that's the thing. If you this story does not have to be immediately put into public. Like, you have time to go, like, okay, I like the story, but you got to get me a few more sources because I need more than a half dozen players, and I need the other side of it. I need you to talk to the other guys who may not agree with this, and then we have a complete story, and then it's up to the reader to decide. Matt Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Come on, Matt.
Too much. So, with the Carson Wentz thing, I kind of agree with what you're saying, that there's not enough sources.
Matt, can you take me off speaker?
Actually, that was off speaker. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's really tough to hear you. You got a bad mouthpiece there, but go ahead, try it.
All right. see, yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying with Wentz, but Roy Halladay, like, in that scenario, I'm agreeing with you. No one under the influence of any backup should get behind the wheel or behind a airplane, mm-hmm. or whatever. But
yeah.
There's no way also to tell exactly when it took that meds. He could have taken all that stuff the night before, woke up, felt fine, and it's in his system, but maybe he wasn't, like, on a buzz at the exact moment, if you know what I'm saying.
Crashed the plane, though.
I understand that, but it could have been anything. You know, no one else
been... But, bro, when you crash a plane and you're determined to be under the influence, there's a cause and effect there. Maybe you're right, but the chances are that had an influence in it.
You can't
take a guy off the hook for doing something like that and operating dangerous machinery.
Right, but you don't know that when he woke up in the morning, he was completely fine.
You're adding like apparently you examined him. You're adding data that's not here.
If I know the article you're talking about, and I read it too, and I was kind of curious about mm-hmm. why it wasn't more blown up or whatever in the news by the media. But I don't know. Like, I thought about it when I was waiting on hold. That
it was blown up in the media when the toxicology report came out.
Right.
It was blown up. Everybody had the story. What I'm saying is now in the tribute pieces to him, it's not even mentioned in a paragraph. That's all I'm saying. It's a small thing for me, but I think it had to be part of a story that you write on Roy Halladay going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know why you would avoid writing it, because it was a kind of a notorious fact in the whole Roy Halladay saga.
I'm not disagreeing with that part. However, what's the reasoning behind putting a small paragraph next to his plaque?
Because it makes the story complete. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to write a story, it's got to be a complete story. Like, why would you withhold it? You know, you're supposed to be a journalist, not a family member. You know? Why would you withhold it? It was a factoid. 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. Radio, TV, 97.5 at Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. General Knowledge Wednesday today. Everybody who gets a question right today gets a pair of tickets to the 2019 Philly Auto Show. February 2nd, February 10th, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof. There's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com. And a lucky person at random. We'll get selected for this. I don't know how we're going to do this yet.
We'll do it at random.
Did it random?
Yeah.
Jar Prego.
Got to figure out how we're going to ship it.
Bubble wrap. Yeah, but it's precious cargo, bro.
I know. Right.
How in a box?
Yeah, in a box with bubble wrap.
An insulated box?
So I'm saying, well, no, it doesn't need to be
maybe
insulated.
A little dry ice.
See? So please wait 6 to 8 months for the Prego.
Oh, it's got 2 grams of protein.
Listen.
2 grams. 2 whole grams.
Right. You minus that. Listen, the net carbs on that's not that bad. Right, Natalie?
Potassium, Natalie.
Know.
Potassium good for you?
Yes.
370 milligrams.
Oh, that's great for you.
Vitamin D. Zero.
Yeah.
Could use a little.
Is there any vitamins in here?
Probably not. It's all sugar.
I don't see a vitamin.
No vitamins?
Why would they put vitamin D zero?
I think they have to.
They do?
Yeah.
There's calcium in here.
How much calcium?
30 mg.
Look at that. Look at that, Nat. You keep slandering it.
I'm not slandering it. I'm just saying these.
It's got all the essentials.
Look, the
potassium, iron, 0.8 milligrams.
The store sauces have a lot of sugar that you should look out for.
They do because it sugar will make it taste more palatable.
Yeah.
To most people. But it destroys the tomato taste of it.
Yeah.
By making it more of a sugar taste. And a good tomato has a great flavor to it.
Yes. There's a ton of sugar in ketchup, too.
Yes, there is. Let's go to Chuck in Newark, Delaware. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Chuck?
I was hanging for a while, and of course, the last dude jumped in and, you know, went to the topic I was going to talk about, but I'll spit it out anyway. I don't know Roy Halladay. I don't, you know, but on the surface, you know, he's probably came off as a responsible, you know, type of guy or whatnot. So just thinking about it, like, when would you take a sleep aid? You know, probably to go to sleep, right? Maybe the night before. You know, like, we don't know the full fact of what, you know, when he took this stuff, right? So just going on the surface of responsibility, you know, you can maybe say that he had some back issues or whatever, and 2 days prior he took some morphine. That stuff stays in your system, you know. Sleep aid from the night before, it'll be in your system, you know. I can't, but saying again, I don't know him, but, you know, for him to wake up, take morphine, take a sleeping aid, go get in a plane, a stunt plane, you know, the odds are, you know, I don't know. You know, it's possible that that didn't happen like that.
I know you want to back the guy up. I get where you're going with it.
Did they ever say that it was he was under the influence, or did they say it was in his system? You know, because they are two different things. Like,
why are they two different things? If it's in your system, does that not affect your judgment?
Not from 2 days ago. You know, say you took a Percocet 2 days ago. Today, it's...
How do you know how long a drug stays in someone's system? Are you a drug expert? You're making a statement. How long does morphine stay in your system?
72 hours.
It does? You know that?
I Googled it.
You Googled it? All right. Well, listen, let me ask you this. Should he know, like you knew, that it stays in your system 72 hours before he gets behind the cockpit? Gets behind the wheel? Gets in the cockpit?
I mean, the effects wear off. you know, of.
Yeah, I listen, right. I know you're trying to, like.
I'm not saying he wasn't. He didn't, you know. Yeah, I'm not. But
you're coming from the viewpoint where you're trying to defend him, and that's admirable. I like the fact that you're trying to defend him. Bottom line is, he was under the influence and he got in that plane. He put a lot of people in danger.
Who said, that's what I'm saying, though. Was he, did they say he was, he took it that day? Like, he was feeling the effect of
it. It doesn't matter. It's in his system. If it's in your system, it's going to affect you. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Ed?
Mike, when the guy says, man, you're tough, that's good journalism.
Well, I just try to ask the questions that I felt needed to be asked.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Thank
but
you.
But listen, on the Roy Halladay thing,
mm-hmm.
Everybody's calling in, they're talking about what was in his system, but I believe that aircraft is still in an experimental stage. If you look up that Icon A5, you'll see the chief engineer went down about 5 years before Roy, who probably had nothing in his system. It was a carbon fiber airplane, full wings that you could tow behind a truck. So regardless of what Roy did, I just am trying to shed a little light on more.
Yeah, well, let me shed light on this story here written by the FDA. FDA,
right.
It was the aviation people. The Pasco and Pinellas County coroner's report discovered the former ball player had enough mood-altering drugs in his system to confirm he shouldn't have been driving a car, much less flying an airplane. Halliday's blood report listed amphetamine, free morphine, and ethanol. The urine test uncovered Contentine, dihydromorphone, floxidine, hydromorphone, morphine, morphine metabolics, nicotine, and zoldium. A physician pilot I spoke to about the results said there was no doubt Halladay was, quote, soused when he crashed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was advertised as an amphibious aircraft that could land and take off on water, and I just think he was trying to do one of those, and he didn't hurt anybody else. I know he could have, but he didn't, and I just think that if you were to look at that aircraft quickly, you would see they...
I got you. Physician pilot says there's no doubt he was soused when he crashed. Whether the airplane was hard to control or not, this is what the pilot says with all that right. stuff in his system.
Well, the chief engineer went down about 5 years before him. Don't you think that guy would be pretty stable?
I don't want to talk about the chief engineer. We're talking about this particular case. I'm trying to talk about the aircraft, Mike, a little bit more.
Yeah,
all right, I get it. But, you know, the aircraft, the blood level didn't say the aircraft was a bad aircraft to fly. The toxicology report said he had all this in his system that
I got
probably would have contributed to it.
I got that. But prior to that, the aircraft did go down where nobody had anything in their system. It's still an experimental aircraft. It's something worth mentioning.
All right, listen, I know we're trying to. Listen, I get it. We're trying to, like, not make them culpable. I get it. It's fine. 610-632-0975. And I'm done. It has nothing to do with him going to Hall of Fame. He belongs in Hall of Fame. He dominated pitching for a lot of years. I'm just wondering why this little tidbit was not included in one paragraph of any story that I read today on Roy Halladay. Mike Masnelli Show, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.